Wait, we're talking shit.
Yeah. Three facts that clans should know starting in the scene in 2022. Number one, don't fuck with us.
You have to do the intro. You have to be like,
I have to
"Welcome
do
to the
that.
Creator's Corner, Season 3, Episode 5, is Shindig right here."
Yeah, Ben.
Benjamin.
Welcome to the Creator's Corner, episode whatever the fuck, season 3. I'm here to corral some white trash into actually talking about something productive today.
Wow. Everything I talk about,
That sounded
productive.
almost professional. Too goddamn professional for us.
I feel
Too
targeted.
professional. All right, hold up, hold up.
Yeah.
Let me try and do it again. All right, what exactly am I saying? What season 3 episode?
Five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we start yet?
Yeah, Corey, tell me when you start recording.
Oh, I've been recording. Go ahead.
You've been recording? Oh, okay. Well, don't put this part in.
Oh, I will.
All right. Welcome everyone to season 3, episode 5 of the Creator's Corner. I'm here today with your lovely regular host, TSP Terracode, and Corey Kaizen, formerly Mr. XGN, changed his name, his last name too, actually. He got married to Mrs. Kaizen. But other than that, we are here to talk to you today about some really interesting stuff. Good old Windy unit stealing and that kind of stuff. But I'm gonna go ahead and kick it off with TSP Terracode right here, aka Trent, and he's going to start us off with our topic for today.
I just would like to point out that I would like to point out that you'll take Flandry's name when you get married also, Ben. Both of you two seem like the type to take your woman's last name.
I don't even have a
I'm
legal last name
married.
right now.
This is
Yes,
great.
Corey.
You're married to the grind.
I'm married to the game. I'm married to the streets.
Married to the game.
Dude, I just want to tap dance out onto the stage real quick. You
Listen,
know what I'm
before we
saying?
even get started, this is a call to action. All of the clan prayer warriors in the scene, Corey needs your help. Every time we record these and he talks about his exes, these Eskimo witches from Canada, bad shit happens to him. His eyesight's failing. He's got a tooth that is abscessed. He's been to the dentist this week. He's waiting on oral surgery. He go fuck around and talk about him today, and he'll be wearing hearing aids within a week. So we need you guys to step up and help this man out.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was reading the Bible. Are we okay?
The other day he called me, and the moment he called me on the phone, a tornado sprung up from like the local area, started just tearing stuff up. I was at work. All the locals, they call them water spouts. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that phrase used before. It sounds like almost kind of cute, like a water spout, like a little like fish or something. But no, it's just a big tornado with a large body of water underneath it, almost like a tornado and a hurricane. And that just happened right as I got the phone call from Corey. So there's definitely some weird stuff going on. I saw three triple evil eyes in the sky, and everybody was calling me Helium on Twitter. It was crazy, man. I don't
Listen,
know what was
buddy
going
cat,
on.
y'all are full of shit, because I'm going to tell you straight up that there ain't no tornadoes in eastern here, Kentucky. And I'll tell you why. These mountains protect us. Now, if one of them motherfuckers ever get down in here, then this is going to tear up Jack for about 20 years. But until then, we're safer in fucking pork chops and gravy on a Thursday afternoon at a vegan's house.
Well, I bet what probably happened is when they put the curse of the tornado on you, it couldn't get to you. So when you called me on the phone, it went through the telephone lines and transferred the evil energy to me. And that's why I saw the three evil eyes in the sky. And then a tornado came down, tore up all the town around.
I don't know why you only saw three evil eyes. Corey's dated half of that one Providence in Canada.
Dude, just because I've dated 33.4% of British Columbia does not mean that that's my fault. I'm gonna tell you, it's been hotter than fuck out here, though, has it not?
Yeah.
Put your kerosene heaters up, put your AC on, just sit back and relax. That's what
I
that's
wish
kind of
I had an
average.
AC. Somebody keeps stealing all the window units.
I thought we weren't mentioning Punisher on here no more.
I've been standing naked in front of the refrigerator with the door open the last 2 nights just to cool off so I could run to my bed, lay down, and try to go to sleep.
It's been uncomfortably hot, it sure has. I'm gonna tell you, it's been hot as hell and raining like fucking cats and dogs out here. Grab you better get to the store, better get you some milk, get you some eggs, some bread, because it's storming like cats and dogs.
It's so hot right now, in fact, that I have ice cubes under my man boobs and the water's melting, running down my belly, through my belly button, over the cusp of my belly, and pulling up on my ball sack.
That's not true.
That's true.
Show me.
It's been so hot over here that they've got a fucking water pump hooked up to my armpits and nipples going to Arizona where there's a drought.
Oh, my God.
It ain't been
What are we talking about today? Let me clarify. Who are we talking about?
I feel like we were on Channel 6 News given the weather just now.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody specifically y'all want to talk about?
Well, that damn Joe Biden been fucking up the gas prices again. That Joe Byron!
You go talk about your exes on here again, Corey. You're going to be fucking wearing hearing aids.
You know, at first, when all the stuff with the gas happened, I thought to myself, what a bunch of idiots putting up those he did that signs on the gas pumps. I was like, man, you know, what kind of motherfucker like has the time to do that? But actually, some of the local super PACs around here actually are giving me a gas card. And I ordered some stickers, and for every sticker I put up, you know how at some gas stations, if you sign up for their program, it's 10 cents off the pump. They're giving me 30 cents off just to put them stickers up. I was like, that's a good deal right there.
Well, goddamn. Look at you.
So yeah, if you guys on it.
What's happening in the Klan world? Who knows something?
Shit. There ain't nothing but a bunch of kick-ass going on over here. Everywhere else ain't shit.
I've been seeing a lot of people with a lot of big opinions on Twitter again, and they all have a combined win ratio of zero. Haven't done shit, but have big opinions about what we've done. That's always fun.
That's what I tweeted the other day. I tweeted, I ain't here to start wars, but who want to talk high scores? Ooh-wee. That's all I'm saying.
Corey starting his rap career.
Starting?
Have you guys heard any of his mixtapes?
I have. He calls me every day and plays me, you know, the songs that he's recorded for the day.
Yeah. He calls me sometimes too, but not as often. But are you guys talking about that Punisher guy?
I don't know who that is.
I think Corey was.
I ain't talking about Punisher.
I was more talking about some of his sidekicks.
Oh, okay. The reason why I was asking is because I was looking at a Halo tracker, and this isn't a flex, but you know, as you guys may know, I'm in Onyx now. I'm in the highest ranking on Halo for the ranked play, and I was just taking a look before the episode started, at you know what some of the other Halo esports people what their ranks were in the game, and I found out that Punisher actually has a peak rating. The highest he's ever been on Halo is Platinum 2, or what was it? Let me check here. Might even be lower. Oh, it's actually Plat 3. Yeah, that's the highest he's ever gotten. And this man's like a Halo esports owner and apparently is making all these big moves. And, you know, this weekend, you know, it's HCS Halo Championship Series. And I don't see him, you know, on that. I don't see him talking about any of that stuff or watching it or having his people watch it or anyone tweeting at Alpha Dog or any of that stuff. So I guess it's kind of funny that if all they're talking about is us and his main squeeze, Halo, is having this big event going on, he's not playing the game, he's not watching it, he's not doing any of that stuff. But apparently all these people in his corner are focused on what my friend Corey here has to do or what he's up to.
Oh, they're jumping through Winder, stealing Winder fucking units and using it to fund their esports operation. That's exactly what's going on. See, everybody's out of town at the HCS or whatever the fuck it's called. Yeah, well, while everybody's out of town, he's breaking into their trailers and stealing all their shit. So, I mean, he ain't slick. You know what's going on. You got to fund them operations somehow.
Is him stealing window units the new, like, 2022 Clan War rally season? Is that what, like, Clan Wars have come to?
Dude, when he looks around that room, he sees a lot of fucking potential meth deals going on. Like I could sell this AC unit to a meth head. I could sell this PlayStation to a pawn shop. He sees a lot of deals.
Do you guys think that, like, somewhere out there is like a war rally going on, like about, you know, like a clan war rally, like MEA style?
Imagine it's about us.
In some small group that we have like no clue about because they're, you know, so separated and small. But like out there somewhere, there's like a short like Hispanic man pretending online to be Native American, you know, basically essentially brainwashing and propagandizing people on the internet.
Why are you talking?
Has that ever
about
happened
GIM?
Before?
That definitely has happened before.
Battles 14.
All you have to do is look at Lucky7 Cali YouTube page, and it's all chronicled like on video format in 480 and 240p.
Oh wow, really?
Ben, you know Battles 14's holding a war rally right now.
Battles is different. He's holding a seance or a Jedi ritual or a prayer group or something like that. He literally, there was one point where GRM, no lie, changed their name to God's Righteous Military and were praying for my destruction. I was like, what in the fuck? Like, what is going on over here? Like, you guys went from Galactic Republic military to God's Righteous Movement, and you swapped out Jedi robes for prayer robes. It was weird. That was like a whole summer. And if that doesn't tell you exactly what kind of place GRM is, I don't know what else will you, because they fully shifted their identity into a Christian religious movement, like talking about the end times and, you know, smite Helios and smite XDG down. And I mean, you guys too, but mainly me. That guy hates me. But yeah, I mean, they're an interesting place too. I don't know about a war rally. Like I said, maybe a seance at this point.
You're saying they become a Christian rock band?
No, not a Christian rock band. Like, I played Far Cry 5 recently, and I got scared at the similarities. He literally turned it into, like, a far-right religious cult for a whole summer, and then just changed it back.
Can you give me his number? I need him, actually. I'm calling upon God's Righteous Military to defend me from this fucking witch pirate from the
craziest
north.
Thing is they changed it back. They just acted like summer ended, and they changed it back like nothing happened. Like, all right, guys, we're going back to being a Star Wars guild, you know, and role-playing Star Wars characters.
Ben, we need their help right now more than ever. Like, I'm under attack from witches. Like, there's witchcraft and wizard shit. There's witchcraft and wizard shit coming after me. They're putting spells on me. I can't see. Damn, I can't look out my window. My tooth's hurting. There's blood stains everywhere. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Look, if we're taking it to Star Wars, I can't really, like, be mad at them because you're the one seeking out the Sarlacc pit in this scenario.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck's he talking about? I ain't watching
shit. In Star Wars, the Sarlacc pit is, you know, it's in Tatooine, the desert. It's that big, gaping, hairy, toothy maw that Boba Fett falls into. But in this case, unlike Boba Fett, you didn't just fall into it. You jumped head first. You were excited.
Ben, I watched King of the Hill.
And you did it like 17 times, too.
I'm more of a King of Hill and Star Wars, not Star Wars, fucking Pawn Stars kind of guy.
Corey be dating a girl. He finds out she's making a voodoo doll of him. And he says, isn't that so cute and quirky? And then 6 months later, when he suddenly got neck pain and like he's like constantly getting jolts of like shocks all day, he's like, what's going on? He doesn't even know.
Corey, is that true?
I mean, it is cute and quirky, but I'm just saying. But Trent, these women are really after me, though. Like, this is serious. Like, I know it's all jokes and stuff, but like, there's real life witches on my ass, and like, I just need the whole clan scene to come together and gather in prayer and just, you know, really just help push this evil energy away from me, away from the clan scene. We need positivity. We need good vibes, good energy, good weed, good bitches, all of that.
I heard that they actually contracted the Cornbread Mafia to put a hit out on you.
I gotta go.
He's gotta go make preparation.
I gotta go make things right. I gotta make some calls.
But, no, to stay on topic, though, Like with summer back in the day, obviously summer was a big time for gaming communities, clans, and all of that because everybody was out of school, you know, they were playing the game. You really had two levels of players. You had your Christmas noobs back in the day, which, you know, they got the game for Christmas, and so they were on and they weren't very good, but, you know, it was big recruiting season. Then you had your summer noobs who were off school, you know, they finally could be on Xbox all day, the young kids in middle and high school. And then obviously their parents, of course, also, they still had to work, but they didn't have to worry about taking their kids to school. It was big time for recruiting season. Really what it was, all the kids got recruited into clans while their parents went on war rally seasons, tearing stuff up in the gaming community scene, acting crazy. Do you guys think that that still happens, or is that kind of like a bygone thing that has gone away now?
I mean, back in the day, you're definitely right. You know, the big two intakes of members and clans was the Christmas season and then the summer vacation. And honestly, I feel like the world's gone to hell in a handbasket thanks to witches out here putting curses on people so much that it's more like these parents don't give a damn. So all year round is kind of like summer now. I don't know what's happened to the world, honestly. Where are the parents?
Yeah. Well, you know, COVID did a big thing on that too, 'cause so many people were at the house, you know, getting their stimulus checks and their unemployment and everything, myself included, no judgment, but like a lot of people got online a lot during that period of time, you know, quarantine 15, talking about gaining weight, you know, being in the house all the time. So I think that that was, you know, something that we as communities could come in and really provide some entertainment, some fun times when otherwise there's nothing to do. Like I remember I told people that I had watched every show on Netflix in English and that I had gone ahead and went over to Korean, you know, because I was so bored. The only thing that kept me sane was all my friends online, because for a period of about 6 or 7 months, I was stuck at the house because I was furloughed from my job. You know, my industry that I was working in was not back up and running for like 6 or 7 months, and there was really nothing to do. So I think COVID threw that all out of whack. But for a long time before that, it had been moving away from that just because of the things that you guys are saying about, you know, it kind of being all year round and, you know, summer not being as big. You know, parents don't monitor their kids as closely. They can kind of play games whenever they want. And, you know, also the advent and the rise of free-to-play games too has changed it. So I think there's a lot of stuff going on that makes it to where that time is bygone. It hasn't happened in quite a few years. And honestly, it's probably a good thing because, you know, it just means that there's more people to play with all the time versus having to wait for the two, you know, basically summer and winter equinoxes, in order to get your game time in with your friends and get a bunch of recruits. What do you guys think?
Trent, when was your big poaching season, I mean recruitment season?
Year round.
Year
I hit
round.
clans year round.
It ain't no seasonal shit. We're year round clan hitters out here on 360.
On 360.
On 360. We had to add that in there. Times have changed, everybody. Now we just do it every 6 months. I'm joking.
Do you guys think 360 was the best gaming console to ever be produced?
I think the fucking Nintendo
I
64
think
was.
that, I think that people that didn't survive that era don't know what it was like, you know? I mean, it was the Wild Wild West for people, and you have a lot of naive people out here talking shit about this, that, and the other. But if you survive the 360 days, you're different than all these clans that we see popping up now.
I mean, everything was harder, but also at the same time, it was a little bit easier in certain other ways. But it was like brutal. Like nowadays on Discord, Xbox, all that stuff, you can have 30, 40, 50 people all in a chat talking to each other. You could bring together these massive events. But back in the day, when the Xbox 360 first came out, you didn't even have a party. All you had was private chat and game chat. And in game chat, obviously, you're playing games, so it was brutal. It was all skill-based. If you sucked, you would get kicked out of the lobby. People were constantly trolling. You know, you would go into private chats with people. That was the only way to have a sidebar conversation or like away from the game. Eventually, they came out with parties. That was still crazy because you could only have 8 people in the party. So it got competitive. Like, I remember, you know, in my parties, I was always the social butterfly. Like, that eighth party spot, that was competitive. People were always being kicked, a new guy was coming in. Whoever the least funny or interesting person in the party was always being kicked. And that level of, like, social interaction, like, the way it was set up, I did feel kind of, like, mold people in a certain way. It's a lot different on the Xbox One, more inclusive, probably better, but I look back fondly on the 360 days because, me, it was a lot of fun. You know, my favorite games are on the 360, or they were before they got remastered. So I still think it's one of the best ones, but Xbox One did a lot of good stuff as well.
Yeah. Go ahead. They've tried to make the social experience better, you know, on the One, but in a lot of ways they've made it worse, you know, because you don't have as much freedom now as you did have. I mean, like I say, fucking 360 was the Wild Wild West. Not everybody survived that. How many clans were started a day and ended that day on the 360?
So many, yeah. And usually at the edge of a virtual knife point from like a dude like MEA Josh 420, that man's full-time job on 360 before he became a full-time pedophile was to go and find clans that had just started and immediately bully the shit out of them and be a dickhead. Like, I remember like seeing that man like every like month or so, I would see him like targeting some small group and being like, what the hell, man, this guy has no life. But they were like full-time dirtbags, so it was like their job to do that. And it was just an interesting time to be a gamer and to be in the community scene. But definitely, you know, trial by fire type stuff, in my opinion.
I mean,
oh, Josh 420. He represents the downfall of MEA. I mean, he and the people like him.
In many ways, the 360 era is like that middle generation of clans that, like, I feel like there's very few that did survive that test of time, survive like all the tribulations and all the stuff that the internet would just throw at you, because it wasn't just gaming. The internet as a whole was the Wild Wild West, you know? Like, there was so much stuff that just was tolerated and going rampant that it was like the norm, to where like if you didn't practice those things, if you didn't practice poaching, if you didn't practice blacklisting, if you didn't practice these things, like, you couldn't even fit in, you know? It was almost like to see the evolution of how like the clan scene, gaming, and the internet as a whole has taken over the past, even, you know, we could say 10 years, but really even the last 5 is crazy. And, you know, there's more people playing video games now than ever before, and there's more opportunity now than ever before. But I do feel like a piece of our soul as a scene, as a genre, is kind of like dependent on us to kind of push and to educate and to expand to like the newer generation, because there's not many of us left, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so many people, like, if you look at the communities that from 360 trying to transition to the Xbox One, they just broke their back against that transition and didn't make it. Or if they did make it, they were just a complete shell of what they were before. You know, we've really shown, and, you know, XCG started on the Xbox One, but me personally, I've been in communities since 2009. And so obviously I was on the 360 when I started, along with kind of the same group of guys that I started XCG with. So we weren't necessarily a clan. We were like a friend group for several years before starting it. But, you know, so many groups, even big groups, like take KSI, for example. How many times did they try and fail to start up on the Xbox One before they finally succeeded? They would lose thousands of people in every attempt. You know, many big communities just in that transition just kind of lost a ton of people, died, because you have to be able to adapt nowadays. Like, you can't just do the same things. Like, the formula of being successful on 360 just simply does not work on the Xbox One, and it hasn't worked since the Xbox One released. The people who are successful on Xbox One nowadays are the ones who are able to adapt. And the thing is, Microsoft throws us curveballs all the time of stuff changing, you know, things happening differently, different, you know, UI features, the preview program. But, like, ultimately, what we've ended up with is a group of communities that are way more adaptable than what was before. And that means that we can work together because we're not all the same. We're not just in that one cookie cutter formula. You know, we actually are different enough to where we can coexist, where we're not pulling off of the same, you know, demographic, we kind of have a different type of person that wants to be in each one. And so we don't feel the need to compete with each other. And really, like, I feel like that's what we're trying to do nowadays. But like, so many groups just like could not make that adjustment, couldn't like bridge the gap and transition to the Xbox One. So, you know, I honestly hope that what Xbox and Microsoft do is what they've kind of been doing so far, which is they never change the UI in a big way again, at least not like they did 360 to Xbox One, but they just, you know, increase the capabilities of the hardware. Because Xbox, the original to 360, catastrophic. Xbox 360 to Xbox One was even worse. So I really hope that, like I said, they don't change the software, the UI that much. They just keep increasing the hardware capabilities like they did with the Series S and X so that we don't have to go through that. But at the end of the day, I know that with the three of us, if that does happen, that we'll be on the other side of the Xbox 2 or whatever it's called. But a lot of the people, you know, even today, probably would not make it.
Well, the formula is always changing, and like the route to success is always different than, you know, the day before. And, you know, like me personally, I don't ever really sweat or just like stress like what changes come to like the gaming platforms themselves, because now more so than ever, like my organizations are Discord communities or communities that happen to play video games, right? More so than anything. And I'm not tracking gamer tags, I'm not tracking PSNs, I'm not tracking Steams. What defines your membership in any of my communities is your Discord account. And even to take it a step further than that, in the future, I want it to be our own technology. I want what defines your membership is your clan ID, right? I want you to have like these things where it doesn't matter what platform you play, whether you play Nintendo Switch, whether you play PC, whether you play Xbox, you aren't being tracked on just one platform. You know, one prehistoric policy that I had for so long in my communities is if you joined XGN just on 360 or just on Xbox, you had to pay $10 to change your gamer tag. But if you joined on Steam or if you joined on PlayStation or anywhere else, you wouldn't have to. So in many ways, joining on Xbox was a disadvantage for becoming staff because you physically had to pay $10 to actually become staff. And as we continue to go down this route of evolution and continue to go down this route of crossplay and this multi-platform experience where most gamers don't just main one console anymore, then I feel like it's important that you are able to adapt, you are able to adjust, you are able to come up with solid possibilities and ways of executing like without being non-inclusive, because gaming is inclusive now.
Yeah, especially with crossplay, where you can really, you know, Xbox, they call it play anywhere. It's not just crossplay. You know, they announced recently that you could play video games on your smart TV. You know, so having it tied to that one platform is really archaic, like you said. It's all about, you know, social interaction, because there have been periods of my life where I haven't had internet, and I wasn't nearly as much of a gamer during those periods as when I did have internet, because for me, it's all about, you know, meeting people, networking people together, you know, forging lifelong friendships and having a good time. And really, you know, the gaming to me takes not a backseat necessarily, but I consider them to be to wed in union with each other, the social and the gaming. But at the end of the day, the way that the world is moving and the technology is that you can really play anywhere, and console, your platform doesn't matter. So you know, I definitely agree. We're doing a lot of similar stuff over here as far as making it to where it's not all about just your platform. That's why we mainly target for the games that we do for our events. We're mainly doing cross-play titles that are free to play or on sale or whatever, so people don't have to spend that money just to be a participant in the community. Definitely, I mean, like I said, it may have seemed bad, the changes that could happen from like a new console being completely different, but it's mainly I don't want them to take a step backwards and lose some of the features that we got with the Xbox One UI. I'm not really worried about any future changes or additions. I just don't want to lose anything that we have right now like we have in the past.
I don't know. The games just aren't as fun anymore as they used to be, in my opinion. I know that everybody's kind of going through, you know, the Halo thing, and but you used to get online and just fire games up, and that's all you did. And it's just not the case anymore.
Well, you know, I think what happened with that is that it's a situation where back in the day, you know, you would get online on Xbox 360 and you had your one game. You know, you had, it was a disc. In order to switch games, you would have to take the disc out and put a new disc in. Technology has advanced since then. There weren't a whole lot of games, you know, big companies. And you know, I'm not talking about gaming companies, but like big companies like financial investment groups outside of gaming. They saw a potential in games to make a lot of money, but there wasn't actively, you know, the type of money being made now being put into it. Like, if you look at the profits of games back then and the revenue, the amount of revenue that they were making pales in comparison to the budgets that games get nowadays and the amount of AAA budgets that are being approved. So, you know, back then, Halo 3, Call of Duty 4, you usually GTA. Would have one multiplayer game, GTA, exactly. You would play that one game, and it was easy because the entire population was concentrated on that one game, or at least most of the population. There may have been three super big FPS titles at the time, which are Halo, Call of Duty, Battlefield, like Corey said, Medal of Honor 2, you know, Homefront. There were smaller ones, but no one really played those for the multiplayer. So that meant that, let's say there's 2 million or 3 million FPS gamers. There's a million on each one. So you have a ton of people to play with. Well, now, if I were to sit here and list the amount of FPS titles that are available to play that are popular, we probably wouldn't even be able to release this episode. It's so fucking long. So the player base is split up among so many different options. And in a certain way, it's like a kid at a candy store where you just stare in amazement at all the different things you can do. But also, if you're like me, it's really tough because, you know, I would be happier sticking with one thing that I know I like. I find myself bouncing around a lot trying to recapture something from my youth or from the 360 of how I felt when I was playing those games. But in reality, the market is so different that you're not going to be able to just hop on Halo 3 every single night and have the same group of people playing. Because now you're going to get online and you're going to look at your friends list and you'll see that one of them is on Dead by Daylight, the other one's on Red Dead Redemption 2, the other one's on GTA, on Call of Duty, on Battlefield.
They just vastly change. They're just hopping in between. Like before, like I remember, like you play Black Ops 2. There's no way that you could physically play a day of Black Ops 2, especially if you played any Search and Destroy, and not run into an XGN gamer tag. Like, there was no possible way you could play a full day of Black Ops 2 and not run into XGN. Like, that was a big deal, but, you know, I wouldn't say that I had some amazing amount of members more than I do now. It's just that all the members were playing Black Ops 2. Now, all, you know, you hop on, like you said, you see people playing a little bit of everything, and then they just hop between games. Like, in a 5-hour span, you might play 10 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what was a game changer over here is when we started to say, hey, you can play whatever game you want. It's not, you know, it's not tied to a particular game, your membership here. And in fact, another big game changer was when we said, when we do events, we're going to have a primary game for the event. So, you know, the event is primarily for, let's say, Call of Duty Vanguard. But if enough people show up and they want to play a different game, we have made a game night, you know, format that is flexible to where we can immediately just split off that lobby and all the people who want to play the other game, they get to play that. So really, when you go to an XDG game night, no matter what game you want to play, even if it's for a certain title, there is an opportunity to play that other game that you like, provided there's at least two or three other people who want to play it. And we have enough officers and staffing to where the way we do our game nights, there's always going to be someone who's a host to host that game night for you. And why that's important is because I tell all my people, when you're hosting a game night, you got to look at it like you're having some friends over for dinner. You know, you're entertaining them, making sure they have a good time. And it's a whole other level of experience than just playing a game with someone, going to a game night where there is at least one or possibly even more people who their sole purpose in that game is to make sure that you and all the other people attending are having a good time. So that's something that I think people don't get outside of gaming communities, where It's literally like you're at an actual event at someone's house, and they're trying to make sure that you're happy, you're satisfied. That makes you feel special. And the way that we do the game nights now, it's not just based on one single game. It's on whatever game you happen to want to play, as long as there's a couple other people who would like to play that game with you.
Yeah.
What games you guys been playing lately?
Civ 6.
Civ 6. I've been playing this really fun game that I'm going to highly recommend to anyone. It's cross-platform. I think it's free to play. I ended up paying for it, though. I don't know what I got. But it's called Multiverses. It's like a fighting game. It's kind of like Smash Brothers, but it's super fucking fun. You have characters like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. You have Finn and Jake from Adventure Time. You have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. LeBron James even has a character. Like, it's super fucking fun, but essentially like Smash Brothers. And like that's pretty much all I've been playing on my PS5. Fucking... Dude, I saw a tweet the other day come across my fucking feed that Pun put. He was flexing that he fucking had a PS5 and Xbox and a PC, and he said suffering from success. And I'm just thinking, like, dude, like, most gamers are multi-platform, you know? And I think it's super cool that games like Multiverses, like, you can play online against people on any platform, essentially. So I definitely suggest you all to download that.
Yeah, Multiversus looks really fun. You know, me, I've been playing all of those, like, in that similar vein of, like, party games that you would typically think of as, like, Nintendo. You know, Nintendo, you have, like, Mario Party, like, all that stuff, the party game. I've been playing a lot of those. Like, Fall Guys came to Xbox One. We had a really crazy Fall Guys event, like, a tournament for it. You know, we've been playing Among Us, you know, all those multiverses, well, like all those free games. Multiplayer wise, I've been playing Halo, you know, like I have a Halo profile picture. I've been playing it since I was like a little kid. You know, my whole goal since the ranking system came out the way it currently is in Halo Reach, which is the bronze, gold, you know, bronze, silver, gold, etc., all the way up to Onyx. My goal was always to be an Onyx player because I'm not really that good at video games. But, you know, if you put the time in, you can become better. Playing that for my multiplayer. Single player, I recommend Red Dead Redemption 2 if you guys haven't played the story yet. It's really good. Definitely worth picking up if you don't have it already for the rootin' tootin' cowboy shootin' story that it has. And of course, it's a little bit deeper than that. But, you know, overall, I've just been playing a lot of games lately. I'm really excited. The game I'm most excited for moving forward is definitely MW Warzone 2, though. I think that a lot of people are going to hop on that, and I think that's going to be a big flagship title for gaming community moving into this year, because Modern Warfare 2019 was so big, and with what they're talking about with Warzone 2, I think that that'll be even bigger.
Yeah, we definitely gotta play some MW2 when that shit drops, like as a collective, maybe record some content on it. That would be fun. You ain't gonna play
Trent
MW2?
Trent doesn't play games anymore. His game that he mentioned technically has multiplayer, but he only plays the single player.
I play multiplayer on it.
Yeah, like every once in a blue moon. You're more likely to drink a blue moon than you are to play Civ 6 multiplayer.
What the hell is wrong with drinking a blue moon?
I'm just saying, understand. You barely ever play the multiplayer. You barely play any multiplayer games. I remember Trent, Terracode here, was one of the reasons why I really got back into gaming a few years ago, and now he's just totally disconnected from playing games. I miss seeing him on Smite. That was his favorite game back in the day, was Smite.
I played Smite today.
All right, where was my invite?
Check all the missed calls. We've been trying to record this all day, had this shit planned all week, and you just didn't show up.
Well, to be fair, you guys have bailed the last 2 weeks in a row on Sunday when we were supposed to record.
I've been sick. Witches, pirates, one of them put a curse on me, and I've been having real bad tooth pain, and I couldn't talk.
I don't know who's worse, You are Landry with the hypochondria, because you definitely aren't sick.
Well, you know, my tooth pain. I've definitely had tooth pain. Trust
you
me.
Ever heard of you ever heard of lidocaine?
Who?
He's been doing everything. He's been to the dentist. He's done everything he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
You need to get you a squirrel and shoot it with a BB gun, cut its leg off, and chew it up. That'll get you right.
Ooh-wee. Just like Papa used to make.
Yeah, you know, I have a question real quick. This really off topic, but is when you have an ear infection, does it really fix it if you pee in your ear? Or put pee in your ear?
The old wives tale. I don't know. I've heard a lot of people that did it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, they made me do it. I had a really bad ear infection. They put pee in my ear. I said, first off, whose pee is this? No one would tell me. I had mystery pee in my fucking ear.
Mystery pee in your ear.
If I put my pee in your ear, you'd be failing drug tests for about 6 months.
Yeah?
Yep. Takes me back to my third stint in rehab.
So there is one thing that we had talked about before the episode that I really do want to hear what your guys' opinion is, which is the name a dead clan that you wish was still around in 2022. What would you guys want to revive?
XGC. I'd really like to see XGC. It really sucks they died. I really feel bad for them.
Did they really die, or did they ever get started?
I really thought you was about to defend that man.
Oh no, I wouldn't defend that piece of shit.
Yo, hey, but in all seriousness, I think a clan that I really would really like to see come back is GWS. I really want to see Pun do something, anything at all, something successful, and I really think he could make it happen.
GWS.
Yeah, Gamers with Skill.
I thought it was Gamers with Scoliosis.
Dude. Not STDs, scoliosis.
Yeah, is that your final answer? Are you locking it in?
I'm going to say GWS is my final answer.
All right. Fair enough. Trent, what would be one clan that you'd like to see come back?
You know what? The old DVD. If I had to say, hey, I'd like to have one of these clans come back, it would probably be DVD.
Yeah, I struggle with this question because there's like a reason why they're all dead and why they closed down. I'd actually just for like I think would be the most interesting because I think about them and like I said, they all died for a reason. I don't think it would be good if they came back. There are a couple that might be good. I think the most interesting would be if Bill came back and brought back like the original KSI. Like, you know, like brought them all together, put them all under one roof, and then just immediately started being himself and like alienating KSI again from everyone else. I think that would be really interesting and funny.
No, he's too busy shopping for Tommy Hilfiger to ever do something like that.
I think that would be such a unique thing to happen. And I would be very interested. I think me and Trent talked about this a few weeks ago. I would be interested to see all of the people that we haven't seen for so long come out of the woodworks like zombies, like coming out of the tree line, you know, in like a movie, just to go back to this old KSI that Bill restarts. I think that would be super interesting and dynamic, and I would absolutely Story love line. To make exposed videos about them. Yeah, I would absolutely love 6 months after the fact to be able to say, all right, guys, this is the crazy shit Bill's been up to again. You know, he's been fucking doing whatever. But obviously, I think that back then it wasn't done with as much integrity because there was a lot of legit stuff, but there was also a lot of like, BS that was said. So I'd be interested to see how that would go. That would be my
It'd
one.
Be good for the lore.
Good for the lore. Yeah. You know, personal one for me, I guess if it wasn't that one, I would probably want to see TMG back. But like I said, that place had horrible ownership. So I would want to see it back under a different set of owners, for sure. But
we're doing honorable mentions.
Yeah. We can do honorable mentions.
VGK baby.
With what was that dude's name? Old Bastard or whatever.
Oh.
And all those other guys.
VGK boss space V space G space K.
Yeah, that's a little bit before my time. I don't remember them as well. I remember the only thing I remember is there was a dude named Old Dirty Bastard that had a VGK tag. Do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently his name was accurate, but yeah, no, I don't remember them very well. All right, Trent, who's your honorable mention?
Oh, I'd like to see VA come back.
What, for the 10th time?
Yeah.
Man. You know, that I feel like that doesn't count because if they did come back, you know, they just close down a month later.
What? I don't understand.
You guys are throwing shade with your answers. Mine were both genuine from the heart.
Corey, were you throwing shade?
I ain't throwing no shade. I authentically would like to see Punisher do absolutely fucking anything.
Yo, what we've got here is two palm trees and I'm coconuts hanging down.
No, I really feel like that he has it in him.
Yeah. You know, I remember it was maybe a year ago at this point that there was this quote-unquote, you know, I use heavy quotations here, public relations firm that randomly hit me up and wanted to do a sales presentation for why I should pay them $1,000 a month to grow my social media. And you know me, I'm a very curious guy. I like to hear out all my options. And even though I was almost 100% sure that I would not be going with this service, I decided to sit through the presentation. And like I said, it was in thick quotations, a public relations firm that was supposed to grow your social media presence. And, you know, it was fairly boring. They really had no credentials. I was cruising their social media, 24 followers, by the way, while they were giving the presentation of why I should give them ludicrous sums of money. And then at the end, they went on to a segment, which was their success stories. And would you believe that Alpha Dog Esports is one of this PR firm with 24 followers success stories? And so not only is Pun a shit talker and a hypocrite and has no right to speak on anything, he also apparently has money to blow. What did you say earlier? The something of success, Corey, that he had posted about his gaming setup?
Oh, he said suffering from success because he has a Series X, a PS5, and a PC.
Really suffering from success with whatever job he has when he paid this huge PR firm to go ahead and run all of his social media. That was about a year ago. And when I looked, they had roughly about 1,000 followers. So let's look again today, see what this PR firm has done for them. All right, they are up to... Oh, look, it looks like they're about the same, actually. Yeah, 1444. So a year of paying like $1,000 a month has got this man 400 followers.
Success.
Yeah.
Suffering.
This is really like an integrated sales pitch for the PR firm, by the way, for all the viewers out there who are watching. If anyone's interested, I'm just joking. but yeah, he's an idiot. Definitely not very smart. But other than that, did you guys have anything else you wanted to talk about today?
I think we covered just about everything. I just wanted to really say, download Multiverses. Great fucking game. Want to see GWS do something successful. And really just one final plea to Revenge. Honey, please leave me alone. I have bad tooth pain. My eyesight's going. You know, however many doubloons you need for you to get back on that pirate ship and just go back to the north and leave me the fuck alone, I'll make it happen.
This is just a plea to the prayer warrior. Step up, guys. This man needs your help.
Man. Well, since we're talking religious, this makes this next announcement really awkward. I'm starting an OnlyFans. No, not really. But it would definitely be really successful if I did start an OnlyFans. I feel like people would just be morbidly curious. They'd be like, what is he hiding under there? But anyway, if that's everything that we're going to be talking about today, I think we can probably go ahead and end it.
We got to give some shout outs.
Okay. I forgot about the shout outs. All right, go ahead and shout them out.
Go ahead, Corey.
Shout out Save a Lot for all their amazing deals. As always, shout out Orgel for getting me through this cursed time. Shout out Jesus for always holding it down. And shout out to Colonel Sanders for making some of the best finger licking fucking chicken on earth. Be ready to sign out. Trent, you want to give a shout out?
Yeah, shout out to all of my fans, all of my haters.
Hell yeah.
Fuck all you Omegas.
Oh, shout out to all those beautiful goth, big titty Discord kittens out there. I'm taking applications. Just holla at your boy. Helios, anything?
All right, for anyone who may be interested in filling out an application for that, just go ahead and do yourself a favor. Don't. Now, as far as my shout-out today, I want to shout-out Boo Boo Doo Boo in the HCS. He's currently playing. He's, like, one of my favorite players out there. He's been doing great. He's tied up 2-2, so by the time this releases, we'll know who won. But if he ends up winning, I will tattoo something crazy onto my body. Maybe. Possibly. I still have a bunch of other promises I made that I have to fulfill first, like the Cowboys brand. Not like brand as in like a PR brand. Like I said at one point, if the Cowboys made it to the Super Bowl, that I would brand the logo onto my shoulder. I don't think they made it, though. Maybe next year. Maybe next year we'll get that. But other than that, thanks everyone for tuning in, and have a great day, guys.
Maybe next season.
Maybe next season.